Oh, because we must make time to talk cars with Ciro de Siena, our motoring journalist from cars.co.za, who is standing by to answer your questions about your motoring choices. Just a reminder, please don't ask us to give you an indication on value of vehicles. For that, we will direct you to the cars.co.za website to do a bit of comparative research. But anything else is very welcome. You can call in on 021-446-0567 or leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Ciro, always great to have you with us. Welcome.
Hello, thanks, Pippa.
What have you been driving this week? Anything new to review for us?
Yeah, very excitingly, got my hands on the new Land Rover Defender. I can't think of a car which has had so much to live up to in recent memory. I mean, the Defender just became an icon. It's a cult classic. It's one of those cars that was such a wonderful anachronism. It was built sort of post-war. It was built as a farming implement. A lot of people don't know, but actually the ancient Romans used Defenders as well. That's how old Defenders are, and for their farming. And they discontinued it in 2016 because Land Rover said they were battling to get the car to meet emissions and safety regulations, and they set about, it must have been a bit before that, to design the latest one. And then, you know, they, as a company, shame, they really had a rough ride with this one. You know, they've been preparing it for probably the better part of a decade, and they had the launch planned for the month of March when the entire world shut down, which kind of took the sheen off of the launch, unfortunately. So the world's slowly, I suppose, returning back to normal, and the press cars are being sent out again. And we got our hands on one, and I organized a shoot with it where we took it to a 4x4 course in Stellenbosch. And then we also, a really lovely, dedicated Defender owner came out with his old Defender, which he's owned for 12 years and which was 24 years old. Oh, and I got to drive them. Yeah, it was lovely. And I got to drive them back to back, which was very illuminating.
So how does the new one stack up to the old faithful that's still going strong?
So it's a very different beast, and I think that's fine, because it's a very different world that the car is being entered into, and a very different market it's being sold into. So it's a much more luxurious car. It's much more expensive. The previous Defender in 2016, the final selling price was around 700,000. The opening price for this new one is 1.1 million.
Wow.
So it's significantly more expensive, but at the same time, very luxurious car, comparable to any luxury SUV out there. And in that sense, the pricing is actually pretty much spot on. But where the Land Rover really, really shines is its off-road ability. And I'm not kidding when I say this, I drove it pretty much straight up a mountain, and I'm a 4x4 novice. I really am.
Yeah.
And it just walked up the mountain. And then, you know, I thought to myself, well, let's get the opinion of the old Defender driver. And he opted in, and he was a bit nervous. And he, you know, also the thing just sort of absolutely walked to the top of the mountain with him in it for the first time. And he just looked at me and he just said, wow, you know, that was just almost too easy. So very capable vehicle as well.
I mean, I've seen some of the visuals from the showrooms where they've got it displayed sort of, you know, positioned on a ramp at what looks like an absolutely impossible angle. But from what you've just said, the car probably would be able to drive up that ramp if you found somebody crazy enough to do it. I mean, the visuals, it's, as you say, it's so much more luxurious. It looks like a very posh, it's got ideas a bit above its station from the outside, but I'm sure if you splat some mud on it, it's going to look like a proper Land Rover, Ciro. It looks absolutely beautiful.
It is lovely. It gets so much attention. It's kind of the it car at the moment. I mean, every time I drove past an old Defender owner, I got an enthusiastic wave and a hoot. And then my colleague was actually sort of hunted down, and when he was driving it, by a Defender owner who just really wanted to just jump inside and have a look. And so I think that it's probably going to attract a whole new type of buyer, because the reality is that the old Defender, as much as I think they'll keep going pretty much forever, they're pretty much indestructible. It's very much a compromised vehicle. It's a pretty awful vehicle on the road. You know, they get to about 100 k's an hour and they want to call it quits. So it's they're not great sort of everyday cars, whereas this new one you could pretty much happily drive every day and be very comfortable in it. But at the same time, I think that the Defender nameplates, well, if you look at the car without the Defender nameplate, it's a great car. And if you sort of, I don't know, take off your rose-tinted glasses, then even with the Defender nameplate, I think it's a great car as well.
Just prepared to be stalked by all the other Land Rover Defender drivers on the road. Okay, note to self. Thanks, Jiro. Right, before we take our first question, and Lynn, I can see you are on the line waiting. We'll get to your call in just a second. But quite important to mention news of a recall by Kia South Africa, Jiro.
Yes, it won't affect too many South African motorists because these models came from sort of when Kia was very early in the country and weren't selling a vast number of cars. So 2,175 cars are affected. It's the first generation Sorento, which is a sort of minivan, and the SUV, and then the second generation Sedona or Carnival, which is the minivan. The easiest way, so the manufacture date on these affected, and it's an ABS issue, so it is quite important, is 2005 to 2009. And the best way to find out if your car is affected is to head over to kia.co.za, look for the VIN number checker on their website, the check functionality, and punch in your vehicle's VIN number. You can find it on your license disc or on the bottom left of the windscreen as well, and just work out if your car is affected or not.
Okay. There's also, so you can go and tap that in on the website, kia.co.za. They've also given out a phone number. So if you're worried and you're not sure if your vehicle needs to be looked at or not, you can call 011-776-8800. So either go to kia.co.za or call 011-776-8800 and they'll be able to tell you if your particular model needs to be checked. Thanks for the heads up, Chiro. Okay, with that, let's go to Lynn, who is on the line from Deep River with a question about her Renault Clio. Lynn, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pippa. Can I ask Chiro, I don't know whether to continue to fix the car or to sell it because the power steering's been giving trouble from when she had 28,000 kilometers on the clock. And I'm being told again the steering rack's got to be replaced and she's only got 40,000 on the clock now.
Oof. Is the car still under warranty though?
No, I bought her in 2008.
Oh, wow. Okay. And the mileage is so low.
Yeah, because I don't drive a lot.
Oh, that's a real pity. Really is. And then these things get very expensive. I mean, what sort of ballpark figure are you looking at for the repair?
Well, the steering rack in 2013 was 6,000 for the part. I don't know what it's going to be now.
Okay. And it's, you say it's a 2008 Renault Clio?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me see if I can quickly call up a sort of reasonable price there for you. I suppose, you know, with these, I mean, it's a real pity that the car's got such little mileage and it's giving you such a huge problem. That really is a pity. And unfortunately, without, you know, an aftermarket warranty or the manufacturer warranty, you really are on your own, which is another huge pity. I do think, though, that you'd have to weigh up, I assume the car is paid off. So, you know, whether you're going to invest a huge chunk of money into another car or put yourself down for a, you know, 4, 5, 6 year installment sale versus just putting the money into this Clio and seeing if it'll last you another, if the last replacement was 2013. So what's that, 7 years? Which, to be honest, it's probably cheaper to keep repairing the Clio, but I imagine it's also just really frustrating.
It is frustrating.
Yeah.
I'm getting older and it's hard to steer.
No, I hear what you're saying. 2008, I'm just on cars at close. I'm just trying to find a sort of a comparable car. Here's a 2009 with 157,000. There's no way I'm going to find one with your low mileage.
Yeah.
Here's a 2007 with 168 for about 80,000. So I'd say yours is probably worth about 90, maybe. If you sold it, you'd obviously have to sell it with the issue. So you'd have to take off those repair costs, probably take you back down to about 80. So, I mean, potentially you take that 80 and put it into another car, but you're just potentially buying another car's problems. You know, but potentially you could go for something with a bit more of a reputation for reliability, you know, something probably Japanese or Korean, and that might reduce your headaches. But, you know, the issue, I mean, I think we did a segment on 80,000 Rand cars a couple of weeks back. The issue is buying in this buying it in this segment of the market or this price point of the market, you're almost certainly going to be getting something very old and with relatively high mileage, and you will have maintenance issues. It's just almost inevitable. So I think with such low mileage, I would say your car is almost virtually irreplaceable, to be honest. And it might be worth in the long term just putting the money in and having the part replaced. Now, I think that's the way I'd go if that helps you at all.
Chiro, thanks. It's a difficult question to answer off the top, top of your head on air like this. Lynn, I hope that's given you at least some food for thought in making your decision, and good luck to you. Let's go to the email. Irene sending in a question. She is wanting to know your opinion on this. Which of these two cars would be a better buy for two old pensioners? That's her wording, not mine. She's choosing between a Hyundai Grand i10 automatic or a Kia Picanto 1.2 automatic.
So they're virtually the same car. If I'm not mistaken, the Hyundai Kia are technology partners, and they share all the oily bits, the drivetrain, chassis, and all the rest of it, just sort of different bodies on top. And I think those two share the same architecture, same engines and all the rest of it. The only difference, I think, in South Africa, really, the material difference is that with a Hyundai, you receive a 7-year warranty, whereas with the Kia, you receive a 5-year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. It is important to note that the extra 2 years on the Hyundai, it's just the drivetrain warranty. So, for instance, if, I don't know, a window winder motor goes, that's not included in those final 2 years. So it is a 7-year, but it's a limited 7-year. So if buying new, you are looking at potentially 7 years worth of cover versus 5 years. And it depends on how long, I suppose, you're planning to keep the car. Product for product, the Kia is probably slightly better spec, but it does depend on the model. Because these cars have different trim lines, they sometimes come with different safety specs. So I know, for instance, I think with the one Kia trim line, you only get one airbag, for instance, and you don't get ABS. And I would say that's the ABS, at least, is very critical, I would say. So it's important to know which trim line you're going to buy into and what those safety specs are. It's worth doing a little bit of research. We've got a great tool on cars.co.za which will list all the airbags and all the safety specs for each of the trim levels of those cars.
That's very helpful advice, Chiro. Thank you so much. So, Irene, if you have the time, go onto that website and use that tool to do a bit of a comparison and sort of just add some information to your decision, I guess, is what I'm saying. Good luck with the purchase. SMS from Anonymous saying, would you choose a diesel option or a petrol for the Audi Q5, a 2013 model?
It's important to note, I suppose, with diesel versus petrol, that statistically, petrols are not less or more desirable than diesel than vice versa, but the component cost of a diesel part, the replacement part, is generally more expensive and quite a bit more expensive than the equivalent parts in a petrol motor. Mm-hmm. So if you are running a car outside of warranty, that is quite important to note. If a diesel engine north of 100,000 kilometers will start to require some fairly major work, to the exhaust, to the injectors, possibly the timing chain, or the petrol motor will need timing chain as well. So these things are important to note. It's a good idea to get hold of the service schedules for the car. You can usually source them from the service managers at a franchise dealership. They should be able to pass that on to you so that you know what you're in for. If the cars are particularly low mileage, then you've got less headaches, at least for the short to medium term. But if the cars are high mileage, then it's worth knowing and also worth asking what work has been done on the car already. Because usually what happens is these cars hit the market just before all the big work needs to be done with them. That's why people are getting rid of them. So keep that in mind. But that being said, a low mileage diesel is not a bad thing. And, of course, you'll save quite a bit of money on fuel as well. They're generally quite a lot more efficient.
Okay, speaking of fuel, the mid-month petrol predictions are in. Just a heads up, the AA saying we could be in for a drop in the petrol price of somewhere between 26 and 36 cents a litre, with diesel going down by closer to 90 cents per litre if things stay as they are. It's obviously dependent, Chiro, on the exchange rate and on the international oil price and those kind of factors. But that's quite a substantial drop that they're predicting.
Yeah, it is. You know, and it's South Africa. The oil price fascinates me. If I'm not mistaken, we get our oil from Iran and Singapore, most of it anyway. So Singapore, obviously quite a stable place, but Iran is an obviously a fairly volatile part of the world. You know, and every time Trump wakes up in a bad mood and saber rattles, he knows what's gonna happen in that part of the world. So yeah, it's something that fascinates me. It's also something, you know, I digress a little bit, but if you look at the potential that electric cars have to create energy independence for a sovereign state, it really is quite interesting, especially if you are producing your energy from green independent power suppliers, which is, of course, a big bone of contention in this country. But, you know, then it always fascinates me that people think it's more complicated to make our own electricity and power electric cars than to bring in oil from Iran on big ships. Yeah. I just think one is a little bit more simpler and sustainable than the other. But anyway, it's just my opinion.
No, thanks. It's an interesting one. I'm going to quickly go to Chris in Wynberg and squeeze in one last question before we're out of time. Chris, it's about a Mazda, I believe. Good afternoon.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I've got a paid off 2013 CX-5. It's an automatic and kind of keen to go back to manual. And so the question is, would it be an expensive exercise to try do a like-for-like trade-in?
So you want to get the same car but in a manual?
Yeah, basically. I mean, similar specs. It's paid off, so yeah. I'm not looking to kind of gain or lose, but just to go back to a manual.
That's so curious to me. I don't think we have much time to discuss it, but I'd absolutely love to pick your brain as to why you want to go that way. But no judgment here. I'll just provide you the best advice that I can. I think that when those cars were sold manual versus automatic, you would have potentially found that there wasn't a huge price difference. There would have been a little bit of a premium for the automatic, but that price difference would have been essentially worked out of the market over time. And so you might find one on a showroom floor somewhere, and it could even just be, if the specs are similar and the mileage is similar, the dealer might even just be willing to do a straight swap. You might lose a little bit in the transaction, so it depends how much you really want to go this route. But I do suspect that the market would pretty much be on your side if you wanted to try swap the cars out. That being said, if you've had a problem-free car, I'd also be quite hesitant to let it go. It's also something to consider.
Yeah, there's nothing like that this slot does for us but make us grateful for the cars that aren't giving continual headaches to her. Okay, Chris, yeah, I wish we'd had the time to pick your brain about that quite interesting decision you're making, but I hope that the advice there is helpful to you. And Chira, as always, thank you so much for being with us to share that advice. We'll chat again next week.
Such a pleasure. Thanks, Bebe.
Chira de Siena of cars.co.za. Check out the website for more research, and don't forget to check out their YouTube channel as well.